Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Today we need to listen to the wisdom that comes from God as He tells us about something that is far more valuable than gold. And we'll do that in just a moment, but thank you for joining me on this Monday, July 12 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And I am so very, very thankful for those radio listeners whose financial gifts make it possible for us to remain on this and other stations. Well, for the last several broadcasts, we have been dealing with the subject of the Christian and his money, because that's what Paul deals with in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And he gave us a whole number of items, warnings, and principles that relate to money. And then having finished with that well-known text in verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows," he continues with this exhortation to Timothy in verse 11, "But you, O man of God, flee these things." Now he goes on and tells Timothy what to pursue in the place of money, but it's obvious when he says flee these things, he's talking about fleeing those things that are related to money and to the problems that money brings when a person loves it inordinately, loves it in the place of God. And you wouldn't think that Paul would need to say anything like that to Timothy, Timothy being a preacher, Timothy being a man of God. In fact, he calls him that here. "But you, O man of God, flee these things." But of course, we know that preachers are not immune to covetousness any more than anybody else, and we know that many a preacher has been tripped up badly and some even ruined because they ignored this warning and others like it in the Word of God. So, preachers need to perk up and pay attention to what Paul says specifically to Timothy, who is a preacher, but this is really good advice to all of us as well. Because, as we have learned in the previous verses, the handling and right perspective toward money is one of the most difficult matters to get right, even as Christians. And really, there are two wrong attitudes towards money. One of them we've dealt with thoroughly because Paul lays it out specifically here, and that is to love it. That's wrong. To desire it, to pursue it, to covet it, to make it your God. To love it, to love it. We should not love it. We should not make our heroes in life, those who have acquired money. We should not be stingy in our giving, hoarding our money, keeping it, accumulating it, spending it for self, and saving it for ourselves and for the future, instead of giving it to God and to the needs that God places in our path. Now, even in saying that, I'm not saying that saving is wrong. I don't believe that. Anybody who knows me knows I don't believe that. Anybody who knows anything about our church and the way we handle our finances knows that I don't believe that. I'm convinced that a prudent amount of saving will allow you to give more. And I think that's been demonstrated in our church life. I won't go into the figures, but it is amazing how much our congregation is able to give to missions, is able to give to benevolence. It's an enormous amount. It's an enormous amount in dollars. It's an enormous amount in the percentage of our total finances. And yet, how effectively we are able to operate our own local ministry on on the percentage that remains and how much we're able to save. They don't war against one another. And our ability to save and our commitment to saving is one of the things that makes it possible for us to give, because we don't have crises very often. You say you're not affected by the downturn in the economy and the recession? Yes, we are affected, but we're not affected as much as many ministries because we have reserves that we can call upon at times like that. It really evens things out. In days of surplus, you put some away so that in days of decline, you can draw some out. It all evens out. The economy is always moving up and down. It's always like a roller coaster. There are highs and lows. There are dips and rises. That's true in the national economy. That's true in the life of churches. That's true in the life of individuals. So it is wise to do a sensible amount of saving. It really is, and the Bible commends that. The Bible doesn't forbid that. The Bible commends that. But you've got to guard against a hoarding mentality. Some of God's people, and many who are not God's people, get that hoarding mentality. They have that covetous spirit that just hoards and hoards and hoards and hoards, can never get enough. That's a form of security. I will feel secure if I can have $1 million in reserve, or $2 million in reserve. If you get $1 million, you don't think that's enough. Then you want $2 million. If I can have $2 million in reserve, then I will be able to relax. Then I will feel secure. But usually when you get to $2 million, and really, this is the truth. I know those figures seem incredible to many of you, but I have observed this. I've seen people who live very, very frugally. You wouldn't think they had much at all, but they have $1 million or two stashed away, really. And when they started doing that, they had some kind of a goal in mind, and they said, when I get here, then I'll be able to relax. But when they get there, they don't relax. They keep on hoarding. They keep on hoarding. They keep on hoarding. People like this generally don't give much, are very, very reluctant givers. Getting any thing out of them to support the church, to support the gospel, to support the poor, to further the cause of Christ's kingdom is almost like pulling teeth. They're tight. They're hoarders. And that's not the right spirit. I'm convinced that we should give, listen to me, I'm convinced that we should give more than we save. I believe in saving, but I believe in giving more than we save. If we're not doing that, then I think we are violating what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust dust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. If you aren't giving more to the kingdom of God, then you are saving in banks or stock portfolios or whatever form of savings you prefer here upon the earth, then you are obviously laying up for yourselves treasures on earth and not in heaven. You ought to give more to the Lord, to God's work, than you save for yourself. But you ought to save. You say, well, if I do all that, if I give all this much to the Lord's work and save all this much too, I won't have enough to live on. You will if you learn to live wisely, frugally, learn to budget, learn to live within a budget, and do these things incrementally. Nobody goes from no giving to enormous giving all in one step. Nobody goes from no saving to enormous savings all in one step. If you're not saving anything, start small. I mean, this is really so sensible that I I'm almost embarrassed to talk about it, but really, I promise you it works. When I first started out in the ministry years ago, I had a very, very small salary, and it was very tight. But I believed in the principles then that I'm talking to you about now. And I realized that I really wasn't doing much saving, but I did a little bit. My wife and I managed to somehow save up several thousand dollars. And if you knew our salary and our situation, you would wonder how we did this. And I wonder how we did it, too. But we managed to save up several thousand dollars to make a down payment on a house. For the first several years, we lived in a rental house, that actually was furnished to us. Actually, the church at one point offered to build us a nice parsonage, and we actually said no. We thank you for that, and that would be very comfortable and very, very easy, but we don't think in the long term that that's really the best thing to do for ourselves and our best interest. We think the best thing to do is to be able to purchase a house and to see the value of the house increase over the years, because I've seen too many pastors who lived in parsonages all of their lives, and when it came to retirement, they didn't have any place to live and they didn't have any equity because they hadn't bought a house. So a house is a good form of saving. So we managed to save some money for a down payment on the house. Incredibly, really incredibly, but we did. And I won't go into all the details because that's really not important. But you know, even while we were doing that, I said, you know, we needed some other savings. We need to start saving for our children for college when they were very young. In fact, when all of them weren't even born yet. One or two of them were born, and they were very young. And I thought, when they get to be college age, there's no way I'm going to be able to send them to college. What can we do for this? And so we just started putting aside, I'm thinking $25 a month. It might have been $50 a month. It wasn't much. It was more in the day we were doing that than it is now, but it wasn't a lot. It really wasn't a lot, but just doing it a little bit over a period of time, I tell you, it does add up. I tell you, there are ways to make it grow. I'll tell you that with God's help, and grace, we were able to get four children through college debt-free. We didn't do it all. They worked hard, too. But between what they did and what we helped them with, we were able to get four children through college. Two of them acquired graduate degrees. And we didn't owe any money. Still have money in that account that we set up for that purpose. We have used that to finance three weddings and still have money in the account. I mean, it's amazing that what that $25 to start with, or $50 a month did over a period of years. I don't think that was dishonoring to God. That wasn't laying up treasures upon earth. It was go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, knowing things that were coming in the future and figuring out a way to address them, not a way to completely eliminate the burden, the need, the problem, because we couldn't put enough away to do that. We did a little bit of what we thought we could do to trust, and trusted God to make up the difference, and it was amazing how He blessed those efforts so that when it came time to make up the difference wasn't near as big as we thought it was going to be. That's what I'm saying. So we'll talk about it again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.